Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to this week's podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ, and our vision is that God is making us into a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith. And we are so grateful to have you join us for this week's podcast. So let's not waste any time. Let me welcome my friend, my co-host, the pastor with the greatest shoes in all of United Methodism, Pastor Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I am just doing fabulous. I cannot believe we are into July and it is hot.
It is hot.
It is hot in Oklahoma. Always hot in Oklahoma. Hope wherever you're listening, it is nice and cool, or maybe you're inside enjoying some AC. But yeah, it's been hot here. Any fishing for you, DA?
You know, I actually got to go fishing a couple of weeks ago and yes. Had a great time. I was out there about 3 hours, caught 13. And so it
13.
Was a wonderful day. Oh. I repented of my sin and God brought abundance into my life on that day.
Let there be fish. That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, hey, I'm excited about this podcast, and I just want our listeners to know that this past Sunday, one of our members who listens faithfully said, you know, I really liked it when you were preaching the sermon series and then you were teaching about things, and I love getting feedback. We love getting the feedback whenever people will let us know, hey, this is what helps. And,
definitely.
And so if you've ever wanted to give us feedback, please do not hesitate to go to our website, and you can send us an email that way.
Just
or
be nice.
Contact the church. We want to scratch your itch, you know, wherever it is that you need a growing edge in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we just truly hope to be able to help in that way. And so this series that we're doing is to talk about God's timing. And what we're looking at is, of course, in Isaiah, the Lord speaks and he says, hey, I'm doing a new thing. Can you not see it? It's already begun. Mm-hmm. And in all that is going on in the current global situation with the coronavirus, I believe God is doing a new thing.
Yeah.
And I believe that, I won't say God is, you know, has put a virus on us to get our attention. I don't think that's it. But I think that we are wise as people of Christ to give God our attention all the time, but to give God attention and say, God, what is this new thing that you're doing? And one of the things that we can learn when we look at Scripture, and certainly one of the things probably a lot of people have experienced in their lives, is God has a time for things to happen. You know, we read in the Bible how at just the right time, Jesus was born. And that right time was not on our calendar.
No.
That was on God's calendar. We're looking today, we're going to follow up on a sermon that actually happened a couple of weeks ago, but it dealt with the story of Joseph. And if you don't know that story, it's toward the end of the book of Genesis. I find it to be a truly fascinating
story.
Joseph was a young man that had a vision from God, a dream, had two of them actually, and it was not well received by his family, but he always believed that was from God. And then, you know, dysfunctional family, his brothers sell him into human trafficking. He becomes a slave. He finds favor in his master's house, finds favor with his master's wife, but he is faithful and no, I'm not going to mess around with you. And so she accuses him of assault and he is unjustly put in prison. You'd think the dream is dead.
Right. You would think so at that point.
I'm here the rest of my life.
And, right.
But it didn't happen. And to know the story is to know that eventually all those visions God had given him did come clear. And so come true. The clear lesson that we tried to relay that day is when God gives you a vision for your life, you know, whatever that vision is, when God gives you a vision for your life, then your job is to remain faithful and God will bring the vision to fruition. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to break this down today into three parts. And the first thing I would say is God must be the one that gives a vision.
Right.
It's not like we have a vision and we say, hey, God, help me out with this.
Right.
No, God's got to birth the vision. So the question, I'll let you respond to these first today,
because
I know people would love to hear what you have to say, is what is a God-given vision? How do you know when a vision is from God?
You know, with Joseph's, I mean, it's pretty clear cut. It's like, okay, we get the dream or the dreams and there it is.
Yeah, it wasn't just one.
Right, exactly. It was two. And a lot of times God will do that and like sometimes in threes. It's really interesting how he does that. And sometimes when you have a repetitive dream like that, you know, God can be working in that. Yeah. But I had a friend come to me and say the other day, I've been praying that God would give me a vision and he just won't do it. So there's this
interesting... Yeah, we'll deal with that one next week.
Right, exactly. But that may be y'all who are listening, like, whoa, how do I know? Like, how do I know that God is giving this vision? And I think sometimes for some people, they are very blessed to get a specific vision.
Yes.
And that's really awesome. But then there's others of us who sometimes get... you know, glimpses of things or a knowing in our spirit. And I hate that the English language, and I'm sure every other language on earth, doesn't have the right words, adequate words, to describe how you know something from God.
Right.
Because there isn't a spiritual adequate word that can do that. But My thought on this, you know, what is a God-given vision? How do you know when it's from God? Is that you kind of have to live into it. Like you can have something in your spirit where you know something is from God, and maybe it's not a dream, maybe it is a desire, maybe it is an understanding of what God wants for your future, and you know, maybe it's all of those things.
Right.
But you do have to live into it, and that's where faith comes in.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we want to just know right now that God has ordained this thing to happen, and we want to know with complete certainty. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, then we wouldn't need faith.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to walk into it, step into it, and that is where I think faith comes in. That's kind of a roundabout answer, but what are your thoughts?
I think that's very helpful, the idea that... if God gives you a vision, doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Right.
You know, I mean, there comes that place where you just kind of step out there and you're like, okay, God, if this flops, either I just really didn't hear from you or I'm never going to recover from this.
Yeah. Exactly.
And yet that's what we believe. If God gives you the vision, a few thoughts that I think of around these questions is, you know, what is a God-given vision? Those can take on so many different forms. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be a vision for starting a business.
Yeah.
You know, someone can say, gosh, I really think that this is a business that would help people and help the world, and I couldn't dream of this on my own. This is a vision for how this relates. Or it could be something related specifically to ministry.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want people to limit the vision to, oh, you're only called to preach. You know, that's how I talked about it in the sermon.
Uh-huh.
With Joseph, he just knew that people would be bowing down before him as an authority.
Right.
He had no idea. He had no way of knowing, oh, there's going to be a 7-year prosperous harvest followed by 7 years of horrendous famine.
Or that I'm going to be thrown into jail and accused wrongly. I mean, he didn't know any of that.
Right. Yeah. And so I think when we look at Scripture, and I think we always want to look at Scripture, if the idea is a God-given vision is going to be easy and we can do this quite simply, it's probably not a very big vision.
Right.
I don't want to say God never gives us vision for easy things because sometimes people have a vision and my response is, oh, well, that's easy.
Right. Yeah.
So sometimes it's the big visions that we don't always get.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that I think that we know it is from God, and we don't really find this in the story of Joseph, but I think there's certainly other things we can believe, is when God gives a person a vision, he's always going to confirm the vision is from him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for us to walk up to somebody and say, well, God told me. I mean, on one sense, as people of faith, well, yeah, God should be telling us all the time.
We
should really be listening to God.
Exactly.
On the other hand, to say, God told me. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's big.
He didn't tell somebody else.
Right.
He told me.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Now what? Yeah, exactly.
And so... as you said, at that point, we then begin to live into it.
Yeah.
But for example, when you and I were called into pastoral ministry, mm-hmm. we don't just say I'm called to ministry and people believe us and say, good, here's a church, go serve.
No,
it's we confirm that. God confirms that
through
other believers that this is what you're called to do with your life.
Well, and one of the things, too, that I think is really important when you're I hate to say the word testing it, but really trying to evaluate, because it is important to evaluate whether or not something is from God. Because
yes.
if we don't, then we're pridefully thinking that we know everything, and
right.
we shouldn't do that. So we have to have the humility that says, okay, God, I'm going to walk with you in faith, but anytime I feel like you're changing the course on me, God, I'm going to follow that, because I'm going to follow you.
Right.
But I think one of the ways to really be able to tell if something is from God is you need to spend time knowing him. Because, yeah. I mean, it's just like with my husband, there are things that I know that Phil will do and that he won't do because I've known him for 25 years.
Yeah.
And I've spent every day getting to know him. So there are things that would be totally out of his character that if he ever did them, I would say, well, that's not Phil. He would never do that.
Yeah.
And the same is true of God. When you know God really well, you know from scripture and from your experience
right.
and from tradition and from reason, all the good Wesleyan things, that what God would do and what he wouldn't do. And that's kind of a way to help guide you in that, I think, as well.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful. And really, even the whole idea of evaluating it, that's a story of Gideon.
Yes, you know, exactly. I was just thinking that.
God called him to lead his people. He's like, well, God, you don't call people from my tribe.
Right, exactly,
you
from
know,
the small tribe.
You don't call little wimps like me. So if this is really you, you got to pass this test.
Uh-huh.
And God does. And he's like, well, no, that one was too easy. Let's do
let's
another
do it again.
One. Let's do
right.
it the opposite way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when God gives us a vision, we've got to hold on to that. Somebody's got to bear the vision.
Yeah.
And somebody then has to begin to be discerning. I mean,
yeah.
if somebody comes to you and say, hey, Stephanie, I have a vision for our church.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to say, oh, go for it.
Right.
You're probably going to say, okay, well, tell
me
about
this. Let's pray
this.
About that.
And,
yeah, exactly.
And is it consistent with the mission that we have?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of ways that I believe God confirms within
yeah.
his people whether or not this is a vision from God.
Exactly.
So when God gives us a vision for our lives, our job is to remain faithful.
That's the hard part.
That is the hard part. Mm-hmm. And I think some people could say, you know, I believe God gave me a vision for my life,
mm-hmm.
and it's never happened. So, D.A., if what you're saying is true,
yeah.
Does that mean I've been unfaithful?
Mm.
You know, what happens to this vision if we're unfaithful? Does it mean that this will not happen?
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, here's the Stephanie take.
The
on
Stephanie
that.
Take.
The
That's
Stephanie
what we all want to hear.
Yeah, right. You know, when I think about the story of Joseph in particular, if Joseph would have not been faithful to God's commandment, which was to not sleep with another man's wife,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, because he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife.
Being seduced and almost like coerced.
Yeah, exactly. So if he would have not remained faithful to God in that, and if he would have given in to that sin, logic would reason to say, well, you know, you need to follow God's teachings and God's commands. Is God big enough to bring about what he wants without that? Yes, because God is big enough to
yeah,
do anything that he wants.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
But there is something to our faithfulness in the journey, because that's, you know, I kind of look at life as on earth as a period of time, however long or short God gives it to us, as a period where we get to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We get to grow or we get to shrink. And because there's so much life beyond this. Our eternal life is so much more than what we
right.
experience here on earth. So we got to make the most of the opportunity that we have here on earth to learn, to grow, to become more like Christ, to know him better, all of those great opportunities that he gives us. And so the vision, I think, that he gives any of us, whatever it is, at whatever level it is, involves our growth towards Christ. So you gotta be faithful.
Right.
And then it becomes God's choice whether or not your unfaithfulness leads to the detriment of the vision, or whether he's going to go ahead and allow that vision to come to fruition with or without your faithfulness. But your point about our job is to be faithful, that is so true. Like, truer words were never spoken. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, a couple of different thoughts. Number one is, again, looking at Joseph. Just because we're faithful doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
No.
Just because we're faithful does not mean that we're never going to have a hard time. I mean,
yeah.
the human trafficking stuff the false imprisonment stuff, that's,
yeah.
I mean, again, I think that would be the death
yeah.
of the vision.
Yeah.
But his call was to be faithful. You know, he had the dream. He had the vision. I don't think he walked in wherever he went, whether it was to Potiphar's house or to prison, and said, by the way, God's given me a vision. You're all going to bow down before me. We don't get the sense that that's how he carried himself.
Right.
He just carried himself as someone who's going to live righteously in relationship with God.
Yeah.
If he had been unfaithful, does it kill the vision?
Mm.
Well, I want to say sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. But other times, I think it just delays the vision.
Yeah.
Because I'm unfaithful, I may not be in the place God needs me to be in order to make this happen. I'm trying to think of a really good example. Mm. So if you have one, just go ahead and interrupt me here. But, you know, let's say this never happened. So hypothetically, let's say somebody is called to ministry, a single person, they're growing, they're doing fine, and they're about to go before the board. In our situation, it would be the Board of Ordained Ministry to say, hey, I've gone to seminary, I'm ready to be ordained.
Yeah.
And then they look at you and say, well, we see that you've done everything. However, it's our understanding that the girl you've been dating for the last few years is pregnant. And, you know, how does that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
The board of ministry is likely to say, this is not the time. You've got some stuff you've got to work out in your life to get back in a place of good character before you can be trusted. Does it kill the vision?
No.
But it does slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
It does delay it.
Yeah.
But I also think there can be that place in our life where we're just so unfaithful to God that we have not made ourselves usable. One of my favorite kind of cliches I've used over the years is, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, I don't have the ability to do this. And my response is, God's not concerned with your ability or even your disability.
Yeah.
God is concerned with your availability.
Yes, exactly.
And so sometimes If the vision is not fulfilled, if God gives us a vision and it never comes to fruition, I feel confident saying, yeah, it's not God's fault.
Right, right.
You know, the mistake that prevents a vision from happening is not on the end of God. It is on the end of humanity.
I think you're so right about that. And, you know, so that could sometimes lead us to believe that, oh, gosh, there's no hope for me. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to totally screw this up. And, you know, the thing about that is every day is a new day. That's what's great about it. If you messed up yesterday and you're bearing some of the consequences today, then bear those consequences as a person of Christ, you know? And then take the next step in the next day, walking faithfully, because every step is a new step. So you get to choose in this step whether or not you're going to be faithful.
Right.
So choose to be faithful.
Another story, another vision that comes to mind out of Scripture is the story of Moses leading the children of Israel to the promised land. I mean, he is faithful, leading the people where God's going to take them. The vision God says is, I'm going to take my people out of slavery and settle them in this land. But then in the midst of that, Moses does something that's unfaithful.
Yeah.
And so he gets to see the land. He doesn't get to enter
get to live in it.
The vision was still fulfilled.
Right, exactly.
But Moses himself did not
his part
get to experience that.
Okay, so let me bring, I know you're going to go on with the script here.
Yes,
because I just saw him. He looked down at the script. And I'm like, wait just a second. No, because I have one more thing. So I am saying, I think this is an interesting question to throw in this part of the podcast before we do our last question. So I think sometimes with people, like with you and I being called into ministry, sometimes we speak in the language of vision and call and all of that. But I know that sometimes people in the secular world or even Christians as lay people, they don't always speak with that kind of understanding.
Exactly.
And so my thought is, I can hear somebody out there asking the question, okay, so what is the purpose of a vision from God? You know, it's like, okay, we see that God gives them. We see that we need to evaluate whether or not they're from Him. We see that we need to be faithful. But we have, I think we have to ask ourselves, what is the purpose? When God gives a vision, why does He give it?
Yeah. So, I'm guessing that because you ask that question, that you already have an answer prepared.
Well, I'm curious to know your answer,
okay,
honestly.
All
I mean, yes, I do. I have thoughts about it, but you go first.
Okay, so just off the top of my head, hearing you ask that question, the first thing I think of is when God uses our life, and there's a lot more folks that aren't in full-time vocational ministry than are. When God gives us a vision for our life, somehow or another, that vision is always going to lead to God's glory.
Yes. Absolutely.
The vision God gives us, the commands and the mission that God gives us is never just about ourselves. Mm-mm. It's about bringing God's glory. And when I talk about what our mission is, one of the things I like to say is, what's our vision? And, you know, it's like, all of you that can't see me right now, I have my right arm stretched out with my hand holding up the vision on one hand, but then I stretch my left arm out the other way, and in the other hand, I'm holding the current situation.
Oh, yeah.
And so the question is, how do I get from the current situation to the vision?
To the vision.
The mission is what happens in between
in the middle.
Those. And so our purpose, our mission, our calling, however we choose to use that, is to come to this God-given vision that is going to bring glory to God. That's kind of the thought off the top of my head.
I think that's awesome. I think that's really awesome. And one of the other things that comes to mind is, you know, a lot of people get a clear vision, like Joseph. Mm-hmm. Others don't get a clear vision. They just kind of have to walk step by step on the stepping stones. But I think, too, don't be concerned if you're listening and you're thinking, well, am I not important enough to get a vision from God? Like, why is he not giving me a vision? And here's the thing. I think a lot of times there are certain people, certain types of people, certain personalities that work better if they have a vision from God.
Right.
Because they have to stay the course. They know that there's something to stay the course for. There are other personalities, types of people. There are other people who God gifts with the gift of faith. And I think those who have the gift of faith often don't need a vision. In a sense. Now, that sounds kind of crazy. But, you know, sometimes it's like it's the faith that keeps those people going and going one step at a time, even though they can't see what is all the way out there.
Right. And just to tease it up, that's what we're going to be talking about in next week's podcast, about somebody that God had a vision for their life, but they didn't know it.
Exactly.
And how they had to live.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and deal with the last part of this. When God gives you a vision for your life, your job is to remain faithful until God brings it to fruition. Now, that's a funny way of saying it, because that's saying after that we don't have to be faithful anymore.
But we do.
That's not the point we're trying. The idea is, if we are faithful, God brings the vision to fruition, that God does that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts?
You know, I think that that's a really good point to remember, and it's the first word in that sentence, and that is God. God is the one that does it. Because I think a lot of times we, especially in the West, like Western Christians, and I don't mean like cowboy Christians, I mean like people in America Christians, because of our culture, we tend to take all the responsibility on ourselves. Like, okay, God gives me the vision. I get to now do everything to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works with God. Like, the way it works with God is surrender and submitting and taking up your cross. Like, that's how it works with God. It doesn't work with God that now God has given us a vision and all of a sudden we become God. So I think we have to remember, it is God who brings that vision. He's the one who had it in the first place. He's the one who brings it to completion.
Yeah, and some of the visions God has given people are pretty kind of crazy when you stop and think about them. And that's where the role of our faith and our confidence in who God is really critical. The story I think of automatically is the story of Noah.
Mm.
Noah, what's your mission? Build a boat.
Yeah.
That's a mission.
Yeah, it seems a little crazy.
You know, the vision is you're going to build this boat.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's like, God, why am I building? What's a boat anyway?
Right. What is that?
He had no way of knowing that it was going to rain and flood, you know, and God was going to do a new thing in creation.
Yeah.
His vision, his call was build a boat.
Yeah.
And as crazy as that was, Noah was faithful. That's why God called on him in the first place, is because he and his family were the only ones who were faithful. But God's like, I'm going to make my glory known.
Yeah.
You do what you're supposed to do. I'll take care of my end. And I think that's a very important thing for us to remember, is when it is God, when God gives us a vision, you know, it's not like we're saying, like we would say to our children, you do your part, I'll do my part, you know. But I think God is saying, you do your part and I will do my
part. I will come through.
And if God really, you know, as you said earlier, sometimes it's not our faithfulness or our participation. Mm-hmm. If God's going to do something, God's going to do something. Right. But when God invites us to be a part of what he is doing,
yeah,
we want to grow in the place of confidence that says, God, I'm going to do my part. I may not understand it. I may feel foolish. I may look dumb, but God, I'm going to trust in you.
Yes.
God will bring it to fruition if we're faithful.
Yes. Amen to that. Oh, friends, this is so fun to be together. I hope that you have enjoyed this. I hope that it spurs on some good prayer time with you and God so you guys can have some conversation about what his vision is for your life and how he's going to bring that about and how you can be faithful in the midst of it. So I really hope that is helpful to you. We're excited to be with you next week. We're going to be talking about lessons from Esther, kind of going along with this same God's timing sermon series. So if you have not had a chance to watch the sermons, I hope that you will. Log on, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, the St. Andrews Community Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. You can go back and watch them if you can't do it live. It'll just add to your experience here and your understanding of what we're talking about. So hope that you do that. And as always, we pray for you. We're excited to be a part of your life, and we pray God's richest blessings upon you. Have a great week.
Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.